with a thumb in the air, won't you please let me in?
Lake Effect continues on Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Mitch Tyke. Milwaukee's own Hayward Williams celebrates the release of his new album this weekend with a show at Anodyne Coffee in Walker's Point. The Reef features a cast of solid musical players, including another Wisconsin native, Jeffrey Foucault, who will be on Sunday's bill as well. But Hayward Williams' climb out of some tough circumstances are also cause for congratulations. We'll hear more about that in just a few minutes, but first, let's listen to a tune from the new album performed in Studio C1. This is called I Know It Now.
Told myself that you'd never change, never change. Well, I know it now, even faces rearrange. I know it now, even faces rearrange.
Hayward Williams, I Know It Now, off the new CD, The Reef. Welcome.
Thanks. Thanks for having me back.
Well, thanks so much for coming back, and what a great song.
Thanks. Thank you.
Well, so what's the story of that song?
I wrote that song a while ago. It's about missing my friends that moved away to Los Angeles, and most of the time when people move there, they change in some manner. I think it's kind of impossible not to. And my friends have remained, you know, whole as far as their souls are concerned, I would have to say. But it's more the distance than anything that kind of brought on that song.
There's physical distance and there's kind of metaphorical distance. The psyche
sure.
of someone living in L.A. is different than in Milwaukee.
Yeah, it's a total different conversation pattern.
Well, you know, the last time you were on this show, it was 2012, just as Haymaker was coming out.
Oh, geez, yeah.
A lot has happened between now and then.
A lot has happened, yeah, yeah.
And maybe a lot that would have made the next record something of a struggle.
Yeah. I was working a lot, working really hard, and I think I just kind of came to the end of my rope and just kind of, you know, turn me into the new person that I am, you know, which is kind of difficult.
This is, and we could talk around it, but you were dealing with panic attacks.
Yeah, I was on tour in Australia, and I came back, and you know, the flight alone is pretty rough and terrible. But when I got back, I think I just kind of, my body just decided to let me know that I needed to change some things. And so I had a panic attack in the San Francisco airport, and then I took an ambulance ride to the hospital, and they just said that I was really tuckered out. And then I later realized that, it was a full-blown panic attack. And then it was kind of the job of figuring out, you know, how to combat that, but it took me like a year to figure out how to combat that, and so I just kind of lived in that fear for a while, and a lot of the songs on this record came out of that.
Well, and you said the fear, and I guess I will admit at this point that I am familiar with the drill, and
yeah.
When you talk about the fear, you're talking about the fear of the next one.
Yeah, it's not the fear of panic attacks, it's the fear of the fear of having a panic attack. You know, when you have it, You're in it, and you know you have to deal with those physical symptoms. But the fear of fear and the fear of having a panic attack is just as crippling and terrible.
It's a crazy cycle.
Oh yeah, it's amazing. And then just imagine like throwing like travel and tour logistics, and then being in front of a bunch of people and having those physical symptoms of nervousness, like being nauseous or Well, really just being nauseous, yeah.
There's also sometimes the fear of passing out as in public.
Oh, no. Yeah, that's a massive fear. And it's the fear of passing out and the fear of passing out on stage, which was a massive fear of mine. But it's also the idea that you feel like there's no good reason for that to be happening, and having to explain it to people would be ridiculous sounding, you know? So it's a social fear on top of a physical fear, and it's compounded. Yeah.
Well, and so for someone who makes his living by doing things in public and preparing to do things in public, how did you start to unpack that? What was that year about for you?
It was about trying to find a way, you know, over this boondoggle, and for a long time it was just me doing whatever I thought would work, like playing my songs in a lower key or slower, or sitting down at shows and, you know, putting myself in like sensory isolation before shows. But then, you know, it was my sister calling me, you know, every day saying, have you been able to contact someone to speak to? Have you thought about medication? And she would just call me every day until I did it. And then I finally did it and started doing therapy and started doing medication. And you know, I was hesitant to do that because medication is, we've been dealing with mental illness for a long time. It still feels like a taboo thing to me. I don't know why. So there was a fear of going into that realm and becoming a different person.
At some point, were you able to get to the point where this place in your life became a catalyst for the creative outlet?
Well, it had to be. I mean, mostly just because I had nothing else, you know. It's the only job I'm qualified to do, you know, and I was unable to do it. And so the only thing I could do is write songs about it. And luckily the record isn't just like woe is me the whole time. It's like a really cathartic record in the sense of like me trying to dig out of this hole.
Do you feel like you've dug out of it?
Oh, I got a foot out of it for sure. You know, I don't think it's anything that I can just like finally turn my back on, you know, but I'm so much better than where I was, without a doubt, you know.
Well, this is probably as good a time as any to hear another song from the from the new album.
This is a song, basically, it's the most clearly worded song about anxiety that I have. It's a song called High Street, which is all about me trying to convince my wife so that we can leave a party. That's what this, because I hate parties. Too much talking gets me high. Who's got the breath to keep up? And all that chatting, there's a lie. Who's got the lungs to say goodbye? To say goodbye. You know me, I'm at your feet. I'm put that foot towards the door. With all these people so incomplete, how can they afford to be in retreat? I guess they just can't. I can hear them bells a-calling, by the time we take our leave, it's a life that we may never know, but we can always meet. Up on the high street, up on the high street. Walking home on the high street, it's a good time to pretend. With lives lit up for the world to see, a window pane like a TV screen, like a TV screen. I can hear them bells a-calling, I think it's time we take our leave. It's a life that we may never know, but we can always meet up on the high street, up on the high street, up on the high street.
can always meet. We can always meet. When they've all gone to bed, we'll be walking hand in hand. Keep on walking on instead. Get this night right out of our head. Right out of our head. I can hear them bells a-calling. I think it's time we take our leave. It's a life that we may never know, but we can always meet. Up on the high street. 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 Oh, we can always meet. We can always meet. We can always meet.
High Street, Hayward Williams.
Can you hear my stomach growling?
I thought it was just a cool effect.
Oh, yeah. That's multi-talented right here.
Well, again, thanks. Another terrific song.
Thanks. Thank you.
And so the new record is just about to be out as we're having this conversation. Mm-hmm. The release show is coming up. And you recorded the new album live to tape in just a couple days.
Yeah. You know, I've made records by myself. I've made records with other people and, you know, taken months and months and months. But every time I've done it this way, just live with people in a room, like feeding off the energy of each other it's the only way that I find that I really get excited about the record, you know, because I know that, you know, the people that I was playing along to and with, we're all really into it too and had a great vibe and energy about them.
Well, and talk about the people you got together for this.
Well, Jeff Folcult, who's a Wisconsin guy, but he lives out in Massachusetts now, produced the record and sang and played guitar as well. And he got together a core group of guys. And so he got a great drummer named Billy Conway, who played in Morphine and Treat Her Right. He's just kind of this really kind of wonderful, positive figure to have playing with you anytime. And then Jeremy Moses Curtis played bass for Booker T and you know, and everybody else. And then after that, we had a brother-sister duo who are in a band called Rusty Bell, who are amazing. And we had them sing live backing vocals. And that, if you want to get excited while you're playing, that's an excellent element to add to your recording.
There's a certain truth to the idea that music is really, not all music, but music is spontaneity.
Yeah, exactly. And there are a couple songs that I just kind of showed to everyone and then we just kind of felt it out a little bit and then did a take of it. And then that would normally end up being the one that we ended up liking. And so the spontaneity of that kind of just lends to the overall excitement because we, you know, you never know when you were going to get something amazing.
And does it sort of guarantee that the next time you play it live, it's going to sound different than the last time you played it live?
Oh, it's different every time. Yeah, sometimes, especially now playing with a band, you know, sometimes I'll play electric guitar, sometimes I'll play acoustic guitar. I would love to get to a point where I could just sing and see what happens with that, you know, but that takes a whole different idea of confidence to try to do something like that.
That's the next record, maybe.
Yeah, maybe. I'm working on it.
The album's called The Reef. It is one of the songs. What do you see in the image of the reef that appeals to you?
Well, it's based on the title track, the Reef, and it's kind of the idea of doing this job and living this life, and there's a certain isolation around it. And then the idea of having, you know, my own mental struggles surrounding it and then feeling alone in that and the fear of all of that, of being alone and in isolation and not knowing if other people know how or can relate to how you feel. And so that's kind of the idea of the reef and the record. It's actually a really hopeful record and a really beautiful record in that sense. And so I hope people find hope in it and, you know, can relate.
And I hope you will take us out with something now. But first, let me say, Hayward Williams, thanks so much. Congratulations on the new album.
Oh, thank you so much.
And what are you going to play for us?
I'm going to play the reef.
All right.
If I came back tomorrow, tell me where would I be? Would I fly up on the roof, or just more misery? More mystery. Would I count back from zero, or take off from the start? Is it just like falling in love? Will I know my part? I know that I'm out on the reef. Out on the reef. Out on the reef.
Hayward Williams performing in Studio C1. His new album is called The Reef. He'll celebrate the CD release with a more plugged-in concert this Sunday evening at Anodyne Coffee in Walker's Point. You'll find all three songs he played for us at WUWM.com/Lake Effect. That wraps up the Friday edition of Lake Effect, produced by Dan Harmon and Bonnie North, with production assistance this week from Audrey Nowakowski and Trapper Shep, web support from Michelle Maternowski, and studio engineering by John Strelecki. I'm Mitch Tyke. Have a great weekend, and be sure to have your shovel polished and ready to go. Just think, only 5 more months until spring. Thanks so much for tuning in today, and I hope we'll be part of your weekend plans tomorrow and Sunday afternoon at 3. It's Lake Effect Weekend from 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee Public Radio, NPR in Milwaukee. Keep listening. It's 11 o'clock, and fresh air is next.